Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Good morning. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We do this every week. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. February 22nd. Talked about this last week. An opening day of Black Panther, that I wasn't sure whether it would be this day or the next week was the last show of Black History Month, but I did the math. It's this week. So we'll be bringing to you a Black History fact a little bit later. If you've never listened to the show before, if you live in Canada, or maybe you live in the States, or maybe you live in Australia, or you live in Europe, or Africa, or whichever continent that you are now on, I thank you for tuning in here on Off the Beaten Path. What we'd like to do is we like to talk about a little bit of local news. Sometimes we talk about some national news. We talk about some news from down south. We talk about some world news. Just anything that's going on that I feel like you, whether you're at work, you know, taking like a little mid-morning break, or you're getting up for work and you're at your kitchen sink, or I would say kitchen sink, your bathroom sink, you're getting ready, you're eating your breakfast, and you're like, what do I need to know this weekend? What type of new music is coming out? I wonder what kind of guests then you tune in. Because we occasionally have some really, really smart people in here. Other weeks, you just have me. We have we've had some directors, some artists, some comedians, some smart people. I have an interview, which I'm waiting to expose you guys to. I think you guys would like it a lot, but we're waiting for the proper opportunity. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We have a lot to get to this week, particularly a lot of music. So, but you know what we like to do here is start off with the weather. Now, I don't know if you ever heard the first song. So the first song, CeeLo Green, Call Me. I don't know. A few weeks ago, I was, you just feel like music can bring you back to places. I was listening to that song. I was like, oh, man, it just brings you back to, like, 2003, 2004. It's a great song. So, although CeeLo Green is kind of fucked up, excuse my language, I'm sorry, but he is. And we might be saying some words that might make you uncomfortable later. Only in a way that is informative, of course. So check it out. It's been super, super cold here. I think yesterday was like -2 degrees in Fahrenheit, if you are listening from one of those places. That means it's around 29 degrees. Now, that might not seem cold to you. 29 degrees here is freezing. There's still snow on the ground. This is the second snowfall, and I can't wait till it goes away. Today, supposed to be sunny with a little high of 4. Tomorrow, supposed to snow again with a high of 2. This weekend is going to be a cold one, 5. It looks like it's going to be cold all the way until there's no more forecast. So good luck, guys, with a high of 7 coming in the beginning of March. It's going to be a rough couple of weeks. I'll take 10 in rain over 0 in sun any day. It is awful. I hate the cold. It's one of the reasons why I moved away from where I moved from. But let's get right into what is going on this week. You know, here in Vancouver, what we like to really focus on, homelessness, drug use, housing. Well, this week we got some good news. Now, I don't know how it's going to affect it, but I've got some trusted people who say that this should have a positive effect, not just on the buying market, but also on the rental market. So if you didn't know, so one of the big platforms that the NDP ran on was the fact that they were going to try to help British Columbians like live, because housing here has become so ridiculously overpriced because of speculators and real estate buying and house flipping and foreign investment, and it's just it's just really blown out of proportion. So the NDP has introduced a $5.5 billion, has introduced more than $5.5 billion in new taxes, which is described, it says, the recipients of these new programs, parents with children, those looking for help with housing, people who hate paying the MSP, very happy, but where exactly that will all this revenue come from? And so if you look at where the revenue comes from, a lot of it comes from a speculation tax, a carbon tax increase, and a new employer healthcare tax. So basically British Columbians believe that so right now, I guess there's a rule that if your primary residence is not in British Columbia but you have a house here, you don't have to pay income taxes or property taxes here. And what they're doing is they're going to increase that from 0 to 1.5%. And what that's going to do is it's going to bring in a lot of revenue, or cause people to need to sell their houses. Particularly, I think of But when I think about these taxes, and especially people who think who look at these houses as investments, I'm not so sure as if the taxes aimed to like challenge or encourage movement from these people, but really just that, hey, if you're going to park your money here, we're going to take a little bit more, and we're going to take a little bit more. It's kind of like if, I mean, I'm not rich, so if I was one of these people, I would feel like it would be extortion, because you know that I can't move my money, and you're charging me, and, you know, the fees keep increasing on me keeping my money here. But, you know, as someone who's not rich, I feel like, you know, that's fair. Take it. And then help people pay rent. Like, I feel that sometimes I feel that people have they're overly upset about the prices of rent here, because while the prices here are a little ridiculous, you can move to any metropolitan city. I remember when I was home in Washington, D.C., and thinking about, I wasn't thinking about moving, but thinking about helping a friend move and him find a place, and seeing just how much those places cost in Wheaton, Maryland. It's nothing in Wheaton. And people are paying, you know, $1,500, $1,600, $1,800 sometimes, even upwards of $2,000 for a one bedroom in Wheaton, Maryland. Listen, there's nothing near Wheaton. Nothing. It would be, if you're in Vancouver, living in Wheaton would be like the equivalent of living in North Surrey. Like, yeah, there's a mall there, but that's it. Yeah, there's a train station, but that's it. Anyways, but, and people are paying, thousands of dollars to live there. So, while I appreciate the help, it doesn't all seem so dire to me. There will be a $200 million cannabis tax. So for all you weed smokers out there, the price of the bag has just increased. Now, which I find interesting, because every year since I've been here, the price of weed has gone up and up and up and up. And it just seems like, at least for me, pushing me back to the black market. Listen, I know that it's not supposed to be that expensive, but I understand that they continue to layer these taxes, and real estate prices continue to make it expensive for retailers to stay open. So they have to make money, and the competition has increased, which you think would lower prices, but it seems to be holding them steady at around $8 a gram. $10 a gram. That's ridiculous. I don't even know if you could talk about that on the radio, but listen, I'm tired of paying $10, $12 a gram, so we'll figure it out. Moving on. If you are a fan of wrestling, you should be a fan of Bret Hart. Bret Hart, he's probably one of my favorite wrestlers. After he got screwed over by Vince McMahon, he knocked him out. Now, what better way to go out than knocking out your boss? Especially when your boss is a shiesty man named Vince McMahon. But Bret Hart will be here tomorrow at the Commodore Ballroom if you would like to meet him. I'm talking to people about like what it means to have a stroke and like how that has affected his life. And it's very interesting because like when you think about professional wrestlers, like especially because you watch them as a kid, you believe that these people are invincible, and you see them do so many crazy things. You see them go through so much, to hear about them having, like, real-life issues. You know, growing up, I think, Eddie Guerrero died and Macho Man Randy Savage. And so you see, as I watch these people, and particularly, like, my heroes as a kid, I watched them age. And you see, like, Bret Hart had a stroke. You're like, holy shit. Life is real, and it humanizes them, brings them back to like a human level, which like is good to be able to see these people as human, because they work very, very, very hard. But it kind of shatters your your vision of your childhood just a little bit. But what are those memories worth? You know, without actually seeing those people as humans. So we've talked a lot about the British Columbian Albertan battle over the past two, three shows about how Alberta is trying to move bitumen and some other versions of crude oil through British Columbia to the coast, and how BC as a province is blocking it, and what that has and how that has affected Alberta, and how Alberta's premier has taken petty levels and tried to ban BC wines from her province. If she didn't know, people love that stuff. Sorry. And it's clear that other Canadians do as well. And not only do other Canadians love BC wines, but they appreciate BC's pristine coastline. And it's pretty split about what they should do going forward. However, people are leaning with British Columbia because they know once you give that away, the coastline, you're never getting it back. So when we get back, we're going to be talk a little bit about what's going on down south and how those Americans are crazy. We're going to talk about the Winter Olympics. But before all of that, we're going to talk about a little bit more BC news. So you should be interested in what's going on here in the province, and I'm going to let you know more.
I was a prisoner.
Cocaine addiction.
Cocaine took my dreams. It made me lie, steal.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
Never look back.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. You can call in if you have a favorite wrestling story. Other than that, I don't want to hear it. Leave that to yourself. So, if you're looking at, if you read the Vancouver Sun or you read CBC, you would know that there was a Vancouver teacher suspended after distributing class material with nigger. Now, I read the story because, you know, I saw the N-word in the title. And I don't understand why they just don't say nigger. I just don't understand. I feel like the word, when I say it, it like scratches on my inside. It's like the worst sound. But I feel that, I mean, everybody knows what the N-word means. You know what I mean? It's, who are you saving? Anyways, so I read through the story, expecting to be kind of mad. What I realized is that, It was just in a book. So, like, as if you were reading Huckleberry Finn in elementary school or middle school, it was in a book. And I feel as if suspending the teacher and making the big deal about using the word in class material, kind of really gets you away from teaching these kids about the word. And not only about the word, but about the connotations that come from behind the word. And not only about those, but like the systems that have lived parallel and married to that word. And I could see if the teacher called a little kid a nigger, or maybe called a colleague, or used it in a class material that was indicating that they supported the type of idealism that was behind in creating like that word to be such a devastating force for millions of people around the continent. And so, but it wasn't like that. It was in a book, and this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. This has happened with a First Nations slur that I didn't even know existed, but now I do. But I often feel like that we are so quick sometimes to just dismiss without having a discussion about it, because I think that there's, it's in books. Like the word exists in literature. It exists in life. Like, people say weird stuff like that to me all the time. I mean, I haven't been called a nigger in a few months, but I think that we miss an opportunity to teach kids about not just about the word, but about everything that's going on. And so suspending the teacher really sends, I feel, a wrong message, because it doesn't encourage teachers to approach some of these difficult topics, and not only approach some of these difficult topics, but teach these kids so that, you know, 15, 20 years from now, they're not walking up on, you know, maybe the first or third black person they've seen, and not having this kind of understanding, just thinking that it's never okay to say or think or write the word, but that it's okay to believe all the underlying feelings about it. Because when you remove the teacher from the situation, all you're doing is saying that the word is not okay to use, but it doesn't say anything about the feelings or the ideals behind the word. And I really feel like that is where the growth could come from. So, I mean, I don't know what this teacher's intent, like the teacher could have never intended to teach that part. And in that case, I don't care if that teacher is suspended. But I don't know. I don't know that person's heart. But I feel like we don't give those people the benefit of the doubt anymore, especially after Black Panther. It's not happening. By the way, if you haven't seen the movie, you should check it out, because come next week, I'm spoiling it. You get a week from me. Because I feel like it's fair. I'm giving you this warning. You get a 1 week before you watch it. Listen, this is Black Panther, so I feel like you knew that this movie was coming out. You probably knew. Wow, Issa, he might be a little jerk. You know, you might not know me personally, and if you did, you know that I'm a spoiler. But I'm gonna give you guys a week to catch up. People who eat vegetarian food, they like to think of themselves as pretty healthy. I feel like a lot of my vegetarian friends, they really like to imagine themselves as doing a huge service, not only to themselves, but to the world. Like, they believe that, like, them not eating meat is changing the world in a significant way. And it potentially is. It's definitely doing your body good. We like to hope, you know, as you go into the grocery store and you see Brussels sprouts the size of elephant nuts, and you're like, that looks like it's on GMOs. But you're like, 33 cents a pound. I'm going to try it. You know, so we like to believe that, like, the vegetables are good for us and they're doing the world better. But a Richmond vegetarian food company has been fined over $600,000 for illegally dumping their vegetable oil in the Fraser River. So while you are really trying to support eating local and you're really trying to support eating vegetables, listen, these vegetable companies are still companies. That's what you have to understand, is that these companies, under capitalism, still companies. So what they're going to do, they're going to try to cut costs, even as they try to get you to believe that what you're doing for the world is right. So just make sure that if you eat Garden Protein or are Gardein Protein internationally, know that you are contributing to the destruction of the Fraser River. And if you want to stop, you should probably look into some of these companies, because just because you're a vegetarian doesn't mean you can tout this moral superiority to the rest of us who like to eat meat. Listen, I held a chicken the other day. Then I put it in the oven, roasted it, baked it, and tasted it. And I ate it for a whole week. You know what? I felt a little better reading this story, knowing that we're all sinners. So don't believe that just because you eat vegetarian and that you think you're eating local, that you're eating good, because you're still contributing to this world's pollution. And I don't feel like you should feel so good about yourself. So I feel like this is a nice transition before we get into the meat of the show today. So Donald Trump Jr., he's in India promoting some Trump Towers. And like, this is the reason why I feel like we can never, how did we end up with a Donald Trump president? But I mean, we know exactly how we ended up with Donald Trump president. People underestimated the racism in the United States, and people underestimated the stupidity and just the blind nationalism. So his son, Donald Trump Jr., is in India this week and continues to show how Donald Trump not only isn't fit to lead a nation, he's barely fit to lead a family, because his kids are idiots. Now, his son was in India and talked about how, well, I don't want to talk, say, this is what he said. Quote, "I don't want to be glib, but you can see the poorest of the poor and there's still a smile on their face." He's like, it's a different spirit than what you see in other parts of the world. And I think there's something unique about that. I know some of the most successful businessmen in the world, and some of them are the most miserable people in the world. Now, I feel like there's so much in that statement to unpack. It's it's not surprising that you hear that from Donald Trump Jr. talk about the smiles of poor people and how that's supposed to be worth money. You know, those people are hungry, and you're building $4 billion hotels in their country. Listen, in a country where I think it's like 40% of the people don't even have internet, like 60%, like 40% of the people live in extreme poverty. Like it's like 50% of the people are, you know, impoverished. What we would call it. It's a country of 101.1 billion people, and I think it's 400 million people have access to electricity. You're building a tower in Delhi, talking about the smiles of poor people, and then say that, well, some of these rich people are really miserable. You know what would make them a little more happy? Probably paying my student loans off. So if you see one of these miserable rich people, let them know that I'm looking for them, because what I am not is miserable. So maybe we can have an exchange about, like, I'll give you a smile, give me some money, because those people aren't working for it anymore, and neither should I. When we get back, we're going to talk about what happened last night at this town hall and what has been going on this past week. If I can get this thing cracking. If you'd like to listen to my show, you can listen to some of the previous episodes at mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath or facebook.com/otbp20xx. If you like me and you like hip hop music, also tune in on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 with Crimes and Treasons. You got Homeboy Jules, DJ Relly Rels, Jamal Steeles, Horsepower, and myself every Tuesday. Crimes and Treasons. It's the longest running hip hop show in Canada. And we bring it to you every week.
Ever heard of Pitch Perfect? UBC Acapella can sing on harmony in Q. Made up of 100 members across four choirs, the student-led club regularly performs on and off campus. Check out UBC Acapella on Facebook for more information regarding their Aca Amazing end-of-term concerts.
Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Sunday, February 25th at the Vancouver Convention Center. Admission is free, and if you come early, you can catch our feature seminar on scholarships. For more information, check out our website, www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Sipping six wine. coming with my crew. That's my crew. Party sipping six wine. Yeah, making moves at the party, don't stop. All the Instagram hoes in the jam getting caught. Know that anything goes and we land and we drop. Now we making bankrolls and we loving on these stars. And it's lit. It's five things in the whip. Won't you bow down to the whip? My tongue all in the tips. When she came out to the crib, that's my crew. Won't you come in with my crew? That's my crew. Party sipping six wine.
To the vein, kinda like when 100,000 scream your name, kinda like the lips of the face you wanna bite, or to stay waved in the rave, kinda high, or kinda like the box sets made you miss her birthday, kinda like less than 80 likes is a bad day, kinda like you're scared of airplane mode, but you get the shakes when you're about to go abroad, you remember age 5 and how quick you replied, when parents ask you what you wanna be when you're grown, do you ever wonder why the time seems to fly, when all you do is wait for the weekend to call, do you forget you were alive?
I was born and raised with no shame. Fake Nikes and no names. Two left feet and no aim. Corn beef on my birthday. Track suits need more pay, but the gal them love me same way. Might just be my birth name. Now sorry babe, it's 2K's. Mum said no way. Go buy Nike when you pay. Through poverty they learn early that money don't grow on tree. So when I rave on payday, it's my dough so I go cray cray. And the girls in the town get 3K. I'm coming down like Mayday. From day, I'm coming down from day day. Hold on, slow down mate. Why do I feel some type of way? Bad guys in the rave who say they hate Monday to Friday day. So FIFA's on replay with one night stands from Bartates. Ain't even her B-day, but she still stay doing that nene. Selfies with nephew Dre every Friday and Saturday day. So I detour like Sensei, don't know the date of my D-day. So peace out, I'ma squeeze out every second, every minute, every hour of the weekday. When I learn how to say yo babe, but the language other than English. Mountains on my desktop should be real and not a screen save. Skydive with my teammate, selfies in your mind. Airplane mode to die, baby, do you forget you were alive?
What are you doing? Who are you?
Shh, please, there are men chasing me.
Then they can have you. Oi, he's in
here. No, please. I ain't here to steal anything or do anything to you. What? Look at me. Do I look like I want to do that? When have you ever seen anyone in real life in the city do that to someone? In fact, when have you seen anyone like me in real life?
Hold on. What are those on your chest? And why is your voice all up there?
You're back with Off the Main Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR, 604-UBC-CITR. Before we left, I said we would, when we came back, we were going to talk about what has been going on this week. And so last week, we touched on the shooting that happened at Parkland High School in Florida. And so what we have seen over the past week throughout the United States has been protests from teenagers who have had enough. Like, basically, teenagers have had enough. I'm going to play a clip from Marco Rubio's town hall last night. I don't know if you had the chance to watch the town hall. I did not watch the whole thing, but I did see clips. And it was really, really interesting to hear some of the kids talk to him. I'm going to play one in particular, and then you can check out the rest.
To look at you and not look down the barrel of an AR-15 and not look at Nicholas Cruz, but the point is, you're here, and there are some people who are not. And I need to ask two things of you. Number one, Chris Grady, can you stand up? This is my friend who's going to the military. I need you to tell him that he's going to live to make it to serve our country. And then we'll get to the other one.
Not only are you going to live to serve our country, you and you and all of you have a chance to change our country. Change not just our laws, but the way we talk about our laws. So absolutely.
Thank you. And guys, look, this isn't about red and blue. We can't boo people because they're Democrats and boo people because they're Republicans. Anyone who's willing to show change, no matter where they're from, anybody who's willing to start to make a difference is somebody we need on our side here. And this is about people who are for making a difference to save us and people who are against it and prefer money. So, Senator Rubio, can you tell me right now that you will not accept a single donation from the NRA in the future?
And so, if you don't know who Marco Rubio is, he is a senator out of Florida. One of the many senators who has taken money from the National Rifle Association, which I feel that the National Rifle Association isn't what they're advertised. And I know that that might seem like not a surprise to many, but there's so many people who believe that the NRA is only fighting for people to maintain their right to bear arms, so maintain the Second Amendment. But when you saw in Minnesota when Philando Castile was murdered by the police officer, the NRA was nowhere to be found. And when you saw that, in Newtown, Connecticut, when they had, I think it was 21 kids, like, yo, those were babies. Those were babies in the elementary school. Like, you would consider anybody under the age of, like, 8 years old, like, that's a baby, you know? And babies dying didn't move the needle. And then you see, Pulse, the movie theater, the church. So many times, you know, have we seen people be shot up. Like, I feel like if babies didn't move these politicians to do anything, it's crazy. How do we expect them to be affected by these teenagers? And it's nice that Marco Rubio stood up there and talked with this kid, and really wasn't this kid talking with this kid. He was talking, the kid was talking at Marco Rubio, and for good reason. But it's not just, it's almost like frustrating to continue to talk to these people, continue to debate and have conversations with these people who absolutely are not listening. And so when you think about the gun control debate, we continue to have these types of things. And I'm interested to see what comes from this, because I don't think that it has pretty much like, I don't know a time where we have seen, besides like the Women's March, but we have seen like that a organization led by teenagers given money by like George Clooney and Oprah and lots of other people who have supported this cause. Is interesting because when Black Lives Matter asked Oprah for money, she told them that they're directionless and to kick rocks, and like while we have sympathy, and like rightfully so. Like we see, you know, what has happened in Parkland, and like those kids have went through some traumatic experiences, and you know, they just want to ensure that other people don't have to go through this by having automatic weapons and semiotic weapons at people's disposable, where they can go into schools. And we have to remember that, yo, this kid's traumatized in Baltimore and in Ferguson, Missouri, and in basically in any city where there's a heavy police presence that that sees them as a threat immediately, and those kids need support too. So we can support everybody. It doesn't have to be just an issue that you think because guns are like automatic weapons are the problem. Like clearly, there's deeper problems than automatic weapons. It's a start to get those out, but there are kids who are hurting and traumatized in other schools as well. And getting into, so we focus on Marco Rubio, but get into Donald Trump. So I don't know if you were able to see, Donald Trump yesterday before he gave his speech. AP took a really nice photo of his crib notes, and number 5 on his crib notes says, "I hear you." Now, it's really troubling that someone who believes that North Korea is so emotionally unpredictable that we need to potentially go to war because they might have a nuclear warhead is so concerned. Like he has to write it down so that he can feel empathy with these kids. You know, asking them what they want me to do. Like, what, you have to write that down? Like, do you really need notes for that? And it's clear that, you know, the President of the United States does need reminders to be empathetic. You know, don't call the kids names. Don't call them, you know, like it's nearly mind-boggling. And to suggest in any form that a solution, even debated, involves giving teachers guns is so ridiculous that it's crazy that, as you know, the self-proclaimed like leader of the free world believes that the solution to mass shootings is to give people more guns. Now, I saw a tweet that I saw which stated, which was just retweet if you've ever had a teacher who you don't think needed a gun. Now, I feel like I've had multiple teachers who didn't need guns. And I feel like I got multiple teachers who had guns. And listen, I didn't want them having guns either, especially not in the classroom. Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know, that we even debate that giving teachers guns is a good idea. We barely trust police officers with guns. Like, I think that we should take away guns from police officers. I don't know. I've never needed a police officer to use a gun. Now, I'm sure there's been situations where police officers needed guns, and that's probably because they came across someone with a better gun or a gun themselves. Now, if we could find a way to eliminate all of those, we'd be all better off. But thinking that giving teachers a gun is probably the dumbest idea. I know that I personally would have been shot by a teacher because I used to make teachers mad on a daily basis, and I'm sure they would have wanted me to get out of the way. Listen, they tried to send me to the office. Didn't work. They had to let me back in the classroom. And I'm not a bad kid. But I feel like I told a story on here last week where I told one of my history teachers we didn't go to the moon, and he flipped the desk. Now imagine he flipped the desk and pulled a toolie out, shot some kids up. We'd be talking about how the teachers need more stress reduction. And we need more of this, need more of that. Meanwhile, there would have been kids dead, and we have long foregone the idea that guns should not be in the classroom. And so first time teacher, I mean, we see teachers and students getting fights all the time. First time that comes up, it'll be a duel, like Aaron Burr. It's not something that we can have in the schoolyard, duels. Might be entertaining, but I don't want to see that happen. And I want to make it pretty obvious. Like, it's interesting that these things also don't happen in the schools where you where the schools have metal detectors, where you would think that a mass shooting might happen. Doesn't seem to happen there. And I'm going to let you guys debate on why. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about some lighter news. But just remember, if you think putting guns in the hand of teachers is a good idea, stop listening to my show.
We guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah, 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
I'ma lose my mind in a place like this. I'ma take that risk. I'ma breathe the fire till the feeling hits. Until we both get lit. I'ma take a dive, we can sink or swim. I'ma take a shot, we can make a mess. There's no going back once we're gone over. I don't wanna be over if I can make it right. I don't wanna take closer now if I can fix tonight. I don't know if we can work this out. But I'm gonna try. I don't wanna be over you if I can make you right.
Say that it's okay, I know that it isn't. Say you need space, that is your decision. Say it to my face, tell me that I'm tripping. This is something real, I'm what you've been missing.
I'ma take a dive, we could sink or swim. I'ma take a shot, we could make a miss. There's no going back once we're gone all in. I don't wanna be over if I can make you right. I don't wanna take closer now if I can fix tonight. I don't know if we can work this out. But I'm gonna try. I don't wanna be over you if I can make you right.
You're back with All Three and Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. If you'd like to listen to some past episodes, I've said this before, but you can check out facebook.com/OTBP20XX or CITR.ca/Off the Beaten Path, mixcloud.com/Off the Beaten Path. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. It's Spoonie, Spoonie underscore love. So, on the last Thursday of Black History Month, you know, last week we talked about Madam C.J. Walker. Before that, we can't remember what we talked about, but you should go check out the episode. Take a look for yourself. This week, we are talking about Reginald Lewis. If you don't know who Reginald Lewis is, he was a man born in Baltimore in 1942. He went to Virginia State and then to Harvard Law School in 1992. He was one of the richest men in the world, and he had started a billion-dollar company called Beatrice Foods. He died in 1993, however, from brain cancer. And his legacy is that it's one of the first black CEOs to own one of the first like billion-dollar CEOs. And he was black, and he rose to prominence. You should check him out. There's a lot of stories about him because his death is a little mysterious. So I don't like to start, you know, some conspiracy theorists. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, not all of the time. So there's so many good stories. So there is a study that shows binge watching TV can raise your risk of getting a blood clot. So if you're one of those people who lays in bed 13, 14 hours a day, binge watching the latest season of Breaking Bad, you should try and think of another hobby. Because it's dangerous. Clearly, there's nothing in this world that is sacred and safe if you can't even sit in your bed and watch TV, enjoy yourself. What he talked about a little bit earlier about Donald Trump Jr. in India, what made me start really thinking is that I think as a people, we really need to stop looking at poor people and trying to ascribe these notions of happiness on them through their smiles and saying how resilient they are, that they're happy, even though that they're poor, because it's awful. But we do this every Thursday. Tune in next week. Listen to the show coming up after. It's great. Have a great week.